And with that, we welcome you to an all-new live episode of Brainstew Wrestling. What's going on, everybody? My name is Hammy, and joining me in studio is, as always, Michael Punchy Falcone. What's going on, Punch?
Yes, here I am. That's right. By the way, guys, for those of you who were wondering why we're pretty much going to be every week now, you're welcome.
Yeah, we pretty much are going to be every week now with the show.
Now, we're probably not going to do a show next week. We haven't decided yet because it's Labor Day, you savages.
To be fair, we've taken a couple weeks off with the main show already, so, we might as well.
This has been the most consistent show of BrainStewRadio.com, so we can take a week off, is what we're saying, for a holiday, you animals, if we do. We might not.
So, I guess announcement, we're going to be doing this show every single week now.
Yeah. Obviously, if there's like a holiday that's going to prevent us from doing it, you know what I mean?
Even then, we might still do it, depending
on the
whatever.
Listen, if it's like Halloween or we're probably, but if we're like out at barbecues having fun or if it's Christmas, then sorry, animals.
So with that being said, welcome everybody to Brainstew Wrestling. Number to call is, as always, 908-854-4228. It's 908-854-4228 if you want to call and discuss what's going on with Monday Night Raw right now.
Woo!
Which right now we are in a Ryback carrying Big Show Intercontinental title match, and Big Show just speared the crap out of Ryback.
Yeah.
But the big story coming out of Monday Night Raw so far with Hour 1, because this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to recap what happened with Hour 1 of Raw, pretty much bring you the breaking news of what happens during Hour 2 of Raw, and then make Raw predictions for the rest of the show, how we think it should close.
But we're also
going to
talk about other stuff as well. So.
Of course, we're going to talk about other things. But first, the big story out of pretty much any big wrestling news right now, Sting back in the WWE storylines. He is facing the champ Seth Rollins at Night of Champions in a few weeks for the WWE World Heavyweight title. And we opened up Raw with a little bit of a promo from Sting, and here's just a snippet of what Sting said opening Raw tonight. And I need to reset the sound settings because I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
but he came out.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah, great job, me. I forgot I rebooted the computer. But he opened up Raw, came out, called out Seth Rollins, says that the one thing that he's never done in his illustrious career is win the WWE World Heavyweight Title. He said he wants it. He's going for it. And he, again, let's try this again. Here's what he said to calling out Seth Rollins at the beginning of Monday Night Raw.
At WrestleMania, Triple H was man enough to stand up and shake my hand after he beat me. And at Night of Champions, I'm going to prove that on his best day, Seth Rollins is not half the man that Triple H is.
Oh.
I'm going to prove that Seth Rollins is not the man, but he's a little boy. And that little boy is living in my world right now. So, little boy, you better buckle up because you're in for a heck of a ride.
That's Sting opening up Monday Night Raw. Pretty awesome promo. He's really showing the intensity there. And he looks to be in phenomenal shape still for a guy who's in his mid-50s. He still looks like he can still go.
Performed it well, but I don't know if I like the promo they gave him.
That's what I was actually going to bring up, Mike.
It kind of shits on Rollins.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to. He's supposed to crap on Rollins. It's the match. It's the main event of Night of Champions. So he's challenging the champion. So you have to insult the guy. He's the heel. That's the job of the face, to insult the heel, build up the match.
Hold on. They're trying to put the time to beat in the graphic for there, and they keep fucking up, and it's like covering up Brie Bella's face instead of going to that square they put for it. So they, like, the square where the time goes is like right here, like on the, they kept going like right here, and then all right.
They misplaced the time mark.
Then they took it off, and they're like, all right, try it again. Oh shit, it's covering up Brie Bella again.
WWE production crew,
good job, Kevin Dunn, you dick.
Really don't like Kevin Dunn, do you, Punch?
No, you know what? Kevin Owens should be in the world title picture by now.
Well, no. that brings up this conversation that a lot of people seem to be having on social media is, well, get back to what happened on, to open up the show. Sting, let's talk about his promo for a second. He basically said that Triple H was better than him, but Rollins is not as good as Triple H is. That was the gist of his promo.
I wonder who wrote that promo.
Yeah, that was pretty much what his promo was. Complimenting Triple H a lot. He was, you know, Sting of all people was admitting that Triple H was better than him, and then he starts to crap on Rollins. I think that kind of takes away from the intimidation factor, because Sting is 0-1 in WWE.
I get what they're going for, though, because basically what they're going to say is, well, you know, this is what's going to help lead to Triple H turning on Seth Rollins and turning Rollins' face.
You think that's what's going to happen with...
Yeah. And then, like, Sheamus will be the guy the authority hitches their wagons to.
Well, let's talk about Rollins versus Sting for a second. First off, are we even excited for this match? Let's just get the talking points out of the way. Are we even excited for Sting versus Rollins at Night of Champions?
The prospect of Sting versus Rollins is huge. Because we have a chance to have someone who's held the WCW title, the legit WCW title, the TNA title, and the WWE title.
We have potential to see someone hold all three major titles.
Yeah. I mean, there's very few people who have done it. Like, and I mean when WCW was another company.
Right. We're not talking about the invasion angle. We're talking legit WCW.
Yeah.
When it was competing with WWE every Monday night.
Because a lot of people can say that they've held, you know, like a bunch of different titles. Like the WCW title. But it was like the WWE's WCW title. So I don't like, I'll call someone, oh yeah, okay, they're the WCW champion, WWE, ECW. But it means more if it was the legit WCW title.
Back when WCW was legit WCW.
Yeah, before it was WWE owning WCW.
Right. So we have potential to see Sting. I can't think of anybody who has held the WCW title, the WWE title, and the TNA title. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that's held all three.
It depends on what you're counting.
I'm counting WCW when it was owned by Ted Turner and not Vince McMahon.
Okay.
So up until 2001.
Also, Sting is a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion as well.
So Sting has the potential now to hold all of the major championships from pretty much every major wrestling promotion out there.
Yeah.
In his career. So we could see history happen at Night of Champions. Also, he's pretty much the last guy from WCW to come to WWE and actually compete. So we have potential to see pretty much a full circle moment for WCW.
Yeah.
And Sting's career. But the downside of that is no one will appreciate Seth Rollins losing to Sting. It's been all over social media, which brings me to my second topic. The benefits. We've covered the benefits of seeing Sting in the ring facing Seth Rollins, which, by the way, looks like Sting can still go, at least for a couple more matches. He looks to be in phenomenal shape for someone his age and someone who's wrestled as long as he has. He looks great. And not to mention, Seth Rollins, I think a lot of people are saying that he could be up there by saying that he is this generation's heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels. There's a lot of people saying that right now, that he has that potential. So we have the potential to see Sting, legend, icon, whatever you want to call him, versus the guy today. Because it's indisputable right now. Seth Rollins is the guy who is putting out consistent, amazing matches with people that he's working with. So that's the benefit. The downside is there is a lot of people out there that are very angry that Sting, 0-1 in WWE, is going to face Seth Rollins for the heavyweight title. There is an overwhelming amount of negativity in this match. and the booking, the decision to put Sting immediately in a title picture. We saw Sting out of nowhere last Monday night on Raw.
I'm here.
And after Raw on the WWE Network, Triple H makes the match win. And this is the main argument from a lot of people on social media. There are a lot of people that deserve a heavyweight title shot over Sting because of their longevity in WWE and who have paid their dues that that are in deserving.
By the
so
way,
I want to hear your thought on this. Your response, if anything, to the people saying negative things about the booking of this match.
Like, here's the thing, guys. Does it suck for Rollins that Sting's going to win? Yes. I mean, to be fair, though, the booking of Rollins as champion has been suspect at best. He's been putting on fantastic matches. Like, he's been doing his end. So Sting winning it, listen, Sting winning it is not going to be any worse for Rollins than booking the wins so that, like, Rollins wins because of help from J&J Security or Kane. Like, losing to Sting is not going to be any worse than the way they booked him retaining his title.
Very good point, Mike. Because, again, remember, guys, I don't think Rollins has won any of his title defenses clean and fair without outside interference from anybody.
The ladder match against Dean Ambrose.
Okay. One against Ambrose. No one else. I mean, he's gotten the victory over several other opponents.
Yeah. Ian, you know, if he'd have just beaten Cena clean, that would have been a fantastic notch for him.
It was a great match, too, at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but Vince
fantastic
like,
match.
Vince's like, oh, no, we already had Cena lose clean early in the summer. We can't have him lose clean again.
So, people being negative on social media about this match, really, you can't... I don't see why people can't be supportive of it, because the way I see this is, will Sting get booked to win the title? Most likely. I think they're going to give him the title and then have Sheamus cash in, turn him heel, get some real heat on him and the Authority.
Yeah.
Because lately, the Authority's been getting some pretty loud cheers at events.
And let's be honest. What they're going to do to Sting is work. You can consider that worse than what they're going to do to Rollins. They're basically going to give him a 5-minute title reign just to say he was champion, just so they can put the belt on stupid Sheamus.
It's kind of a double burial there, if you even want to say the B word as far as wrestling terms concerned. And YS Brent, yes, YS Brent busting our balls in the chat room saying, remember when Brainstorm Radio is going to be on Tuesday nights? Well, we're going live tomorrow, and we will be live in the coming Tuesdays.
And now, Hammy, you can admit to the fact that it was your fault that we haven't been on because of your job?
Yes, it absolutely was my fault.
Yeah, because I've had Tuesdays where I was ready to go, and I'm, no.
Yeah, totally my fault.
I've got to work, guys.
Yeah, totally my fault. But we will be live tomorrow night. Yeah. So, but Sting versus Rollins. Is Sting versus Rollins a diss to the other talent who also deserve title shots? I say no, because they're going to get shots eventually. It's going to happen. It's just not going to happen now. And I think a lot of people are overreacting badly about
it. Yeah, you know, though, people are overreact with everything wrestling related. And, oh my God, Renee Young. But well, here's the thing, though. They are going to get their shots. Like, all right. Even though I disagree with the sentiment, there's a lot of people who don't think Ambrose is there yet when it comes to being a world champion. You don't want to rush that. You build him up more. Build him up on like a Austin / Pillman level before you do that. Roman Reigns, he's not ready yet. I think that's consensus. He's getting there, but not yet.
Getting there.
Owens just debuted on the main roster 3 or 4 months ago.
So not totally there yet.
He's there when it comes to skill level.
Skill in the ring, yes, absolutely.
And but skill on the mic and the ability to sell a story.
Right.
But he's only been there for a few months. They never put the main title on somebody that soon. He'll get his chance eventually. It may take, God willing, Kevin Dunn just being taken out of the picture, but it'll happen eventually.
I'm taking you love Kevin Dunn.
Oh, he can go fuck himself.
So,
oh, wait, I'm not done running down the roster, motherfucker.
Cesaro.
He's the most ready of the people there. He just needs to be given the chance to do it. Am I wrong?
No, not wrong there.
Okay. Let's see, who else do we have that's like...
I think Cesaro, the only thing he needs to polish up on more...
Oh! Is, oh, God damn it.
Speaking of the devil, yes. Monday Night Raw...
Owens versus Cesaro.
Owens versus Cesaro coming up next on Raw. That's going to be fantastic.
For those of you wondering who are watching, why I'll be looking...
For the two people that are actually listening to us while watching Raw, you're about to turn us off and watch the match.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be most likely match of the
night. We understand, all right? And I'm going to be distracted during the match, just so you guys know. Like, I'll be talking, but I'll be looking this way.
Great.
I'll be paying attention, but I'll be looking at the TV, motherfucker.
So... Cesaro absolutely deserves a shot because he's more than paid his due.
Bray Wyatt needs more work done to repair the damage they've done since his debut.
Bray Wyatt needs open heart surgery as far as repair for his character. He absolutely needs a quadruple bypass. Like, he needs so much work done to repair his character because lately he's been getting the same kind of negative feedback that even The Undertaker's been getting. People have been like, oh, okay, we get it. Rest in peace, blah, blah, blah. Now we're going to get Bray Wyatt. Oh, Sister Abigail, same promo every week. A lot of people do not care about Bray Wyatt anymore.
No. No, and that sucks because he's so good on the mic.
He has the potential to be the most feared heel on the roster. I've been saying this since day one of Bray Wyatt. He has potential to be this generation's Undertaker.
That's why he should have beaten The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
As much as it would have, you know, again, self-admitted taker mark here. If Wyatt was the person to beat Taker at Mania instead of Taker going over on Wyatt, I would have been a little annoyed that, oh, great, we got this streak and all of a sudden he loses two Manias in a row.
Yeah, you know what? Because he should. Because that's what's called giving back to the business.
And that's why I think Sting is not going to go over on Rollins, but we can get to that in a couple.
Sting's going to go over on Rollins and then lose to maybe he'll go over on Rollins and then lose it immediately after to Sheamus.
Possibly.
Yeah. It's their way of having Sheamus cash in on a popular face.
So but I almost tend to agree with you now that Taker probably should have lost their match at WrestleMania.
Definitely should have lost that match.
Because it made no sense for Taker to go over.
Oh, by the way, another talent who should be in the main event picture, I think aside from Cesaro, the most deserving of getting a world title run, Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, if there's a person who's paid dues, busted their ass week in and week out, it's Ziggler.
He played a male cheerleader during the Attitude Era. He was one of the Spirit Squad.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think it was Attitude Era. That was like ruthless aggression.
Towards the end of the Attitude. No, towards the end of the Attitude Era.
Whatever. But
they were in like that mid, like that kind of like transitional period from Attitude to Ruthless Aggression.
So.
Then there's with Toothless Aggression Era, right, guys?
Only in home weight gyms. So, but that's besides the point. So. Final point on Rollins versus Sting here, which brings me to, we just saw the Dudley Boys interview with Renee Young backstage on Raw.
Well, we watched and gawked at Renee Young and Mark.
Besides the
Dudley's.
Point, a lot of people who are giving Sting negative reaction are giving positive reactions to the Dudleys returning because the Dudleys are returning on a more full-time basis. So I ask this question, Mike. Is it hypocritical that people are... excited for the Dudley Boys, but not excited for Sting?
Yes and no. Yes, because it's the same kind of similar
old veterans
coming in and kind of like what people would say is taking spots from younger guys. But the tag team division's a mess right now. They've given it nothing, and there's Cesaro with that new shirt that I'm going to get at some point. But The tag division needs the help of having a veteran presence like the Dudley Boys.
I completely agree, and the Dudleys have... Before they re-signed with WWE, They have all come out and said, if we were to go back to WWE and do one more run before we called a career, we want to work with the newest tag teams, build up the division, and bring it back to where it was 10 years ago. So if that means them getting a title and then putting over a younger tag team eventually, by all means, go for it. But I think the people are reacting negatively to Sting because he was never in WWE prior to now. And the Dudley Boys, as we all know, have been a part of WWE for a very long time.
That's the thing, too. But then again, though, like, everybody knows about Sting.
Honestly, I think a lot of negative reaction are from loyal WWE fans who didn't watch both programs growing up.
Yeah, but they knew who Sting was. I mean, if you knew the NWO, you knew Sting.
Absolutely. I'm not saying they don't know who Sting are. They just don't care. Because they see he's just another WCW guy.
No, the only thing they care about with Sting right now is if they get Sting versus Undertaker. That's what they care about. Sting versus Undertaker. They want that more than breathing.
Thank you for bringing up my final question about Sting versus Rollins. Are we ever going to see that match?
If we see it, it's going to be at WrestleMania.
But with the way the Undertaker-Lesnar match ended, it leads me to believe that we're going to get Taker-Lesnar 3 at Mania.
I think we'll get Taker-Lesnar 3 at another day, like maybe the Royal Rumble. And then we'll get Taker-Sting afterwards.
I hope to Christ that we get the Sting-Taker match, because a lot of people, again, negative reaction, are saying we don't want to see two old guys do it. That's like saying if Michael Jordan and Larry Bird now were to play one-on-one. You know, it doesn't matter if Michael Jordan, and the difference is if Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, obviously nowhere near as good as they were in their prime, but if we were to see them even just do like a basic shoot, a plain horse even, we are going to see we would see Michael Jordan and Larry Bird on the same court at the same time. The build up to Taker and Sting, the build up alone would be worth the match. Even if the match lasted 5 seconds and it was a dull match, the build-up and seeing them in the same ring at the same time would be worth every penny.
Yeah, it'd be a huge moment, kind of like that NWO DX showdown at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think the booking was a little wacky, but we got to see DX and the NWO brawl a little bit, because that's something that us growing up, because a lot of people who listen to us or who watch wrestling, they either liked WWE or WCW. Not a lot of people watched both. Mike and I here, I don't know about, I don't know if you did this the same way I did, Mike, but I started watching Raw, and then when Raw went to commercial, I switched to Nitro.
I was the guy who watched the first hour of Nitro and then went to Raw. And then eventually WCW started catching on to people doing this and put nothing NWO related in the first hour. So if you wanted to watch the NWO, you had to like keep switching.
And back then, we didn't have DVRs to record both programs simultaneously, not like we do now. So what a lot of people did was they had one TV in like their bedroom, whatever. They videotaped Nitro and watch Raw live, then watch Nitro later. But I personally...
Well, live half the time.
They watch. Exactly. But with me, I started watching Raw, and then as soon as Raw went to commercial, I flipped the channel to Nitro, and then when Nitro went to commercial, I went back to Raw. Yeah. And that's how I watched wrestling on Monday nights.
Until they caught
on
to that too, and they're like, alright, well,
we're gonna have nothing for the first hour.
Yeah.
So that leads me to the again, final question. If we ever get Sting versus Taker, how would the booking go? How would you book Sting versus Undertaker?
That would be wacky as shit booking, first off. A lot of wacky booking. I don't know. It's weird because, like, does the Undertaker lose on the way out?
That's a good question, because both Taker and Sting personally are old school in the mentality that they want to lose their final match.
Yeah. So now who loses? Like, who loses their final match? Is it Sting or is it Taker? What they'll probably do is default and have it be Sting ring to lose, because, like, listen, I got a title reign, I got this. This is Taker's yard. I think that's what's probably going to happen. Or Vince will just be like, I'm not going to let my guy lose to their guy.
I think that's what's going to happen. If we ever do get Taker versus Sting, I think Taker would go over just because
the WWE
just the way that Triple H and Sting was booked. Like, I think we all knew going into this that Sting wasn't going to go over on Triple H, even though we both predicted.
I know, we both thought, no, you know, I kind of thought he was to get that win to set up a run in.
We both guessed that he would, but I think deep down we both had that down in our head, like, well, he's a WCW guy. There's no way he's going to beat Triple H. There's no way. We both had that down in our minds, and unfortunately that's what really happened at WrestleMania. I would have liked to see everyone, I would have liked to see Triple H or Sting win clean without using any weapons or interference, but nevertheless, it was a fun thing to watch at Mania, and it gave Sting his only loss in WWE and his only match in WWE, and his second match is going to be against Seth Rollins in 3 weeks. I can't wait.
Seth Rollins!
But the way that I would book Taker Sting, I think the best way to book it is actually the way Jim Ross just booked it, fantasy booking. The way he would book it was Sting comes out and just doesn't even interfere with a Taker match, doesn't do anything. He comes out and says, Taker, you were here. I was in WCW. We're both old-timers. I've always wanted to face you, and just be real about it. I've always wanted to face you. I wanted to find out who's best. Let's do it.
Yep.
And that's how you set up the match. I don't know what would happen in the weeks leading up to it or what shenanigans would happen, but that's how the challenge would be booked.
Yep.
And I think whoever goes over at Mania, it should be done clean. No interference, no double count out, no draw. I don't want to see anything like that. I want to see a clean finish. And both of them break kayfabe, shake hands, and walk out never to be seen again.
Yeah.
That's it. And call it a career.
Oh, great. They punch and push the curtain call, but nothing can punch, not punch him the curtain call.
Well, a side topic here. If Taker were to retire in previous couple WrestleManias now, I think that if he were to go out for like and just call it a career, I think it should have been at WrestleMania, I want to say 28, when he faced Triple H in the Hell in a Cell with Michaels as the referee.
No, you know what, though? After that, though, he had a much better WrestleMania match the year after, so no, I wouldn't have wanted him to.
Well, if we didn't know that that match was going to happen and that excellent match with CM Punk wasn't going to happen.
I think that was more about like them saying, we're passing the torch to another generation after this match. I think that was more what that was about.
That way. That's a pretty
like
good...
the end of an era, not for the Undertaker, but for just like Shawn Michaels was on TV less. Triple H essentially shifted from full time to part time after that,
and now he's barely even part time. He wrestles like maybe one match a year.
Yeah, he's on the Undertaker schedule, and now Randy Orton might be apparently requesting a part time schedule.
He's been doing it for years. Yeah. Why not?
John Cena is going to venture for acting too, I'm thinking.
So when we get back, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Dudley Boys. What's going on with Rusev and Dolph Ziggler and among other things.
Hey, and we might have something funny to play you guys that I'm going to tell Hammy about once we go.
Well, that's the greatest tease I ever heard in my life. But we'll be right back right after this. Stay right there. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh,
Deborah.
He kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on, everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh, man.
I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge cum.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
Back live, Brainstew Wrestling.
By the way, Cesaro and Owens right now they're putting on a as expected match.
By as expected, you mean fantastic. Yes. This brings back the days of old ECW.
Yeah, it does. With a match with two guys who probably would have eventually been in the old ECW if it was still around.
Owens and Cesaro?
Yeah, he definitely would have been there. Paul Heyman would have pushed the hell... That, like, all the guys who came from ROH would have probably been in ECW at some point. Oh, snap.
All right, so what Punchy here was talking about brought up a very fun memory of Kurt Angle when he was feuding with Shawn Michaels. And I don't know if you guys remember this moment, but I laughed pretty hard off mic. As we were on break when he played this, but I don't know if you remember this, but Kurt Angle actually, to insult Shawn Michaels, sang his own theme song.
The music!
What does he mean by that?
Oh! Oh, Shawn!
I think I'm cute. I got the metal. I got the moves. That makes them all tap out the Angle Slam. The Angle Lock. Marty Jannetty. Still can't walk, I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt!
I'll make your ankle hurt. I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Gonna play.
I'll make your ankle hurt.
Ankle hurt!
That's right, Shawn, eat your heart out.
Hands He's even wearing Shawn Michaels pants. Oh, Kurt Angle rules. I miss Kurt Angle in WWE.
Oh, man.
Still doesn't beat, I think, my favorite musical interaction with wrestlers. When The Rock and Stone Cold came out, I think this was at the very end of the Invasion angle, and they ended up belting out Wasted Again in Margaritaville, and trading jabs with each other.
Yeah.
And it went from, okay, we're going to get to see, oh, I don't like you, you don't like me, blah, 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 to the greatest sin I've ever seen in wrestling. It's one of my favorite segments.
You should find
ever.
A video of that so I can hear that.
I will, but...
While you're looking for that, I want to point out, too, I saw something that I should have seen weeks ago, but I just didn't have time to until this weekend. I've mentioned the show Marin a lot, and this is wrestling-related, but I have a reason to mention it here. There was an episode, and first off, like, that show's been very wrestling-friendly. Like, the guy, the assistant for Mark Maron in the show, always wears a lot of wrestling shirts. Like, he has, like he wore a Joey Ryan shirt. You guys might know him as from TNA. He's in PWG. He's been on Brainstew as a guest. He called in. Also, like, a support independent wrestling shirt. But this past, and CM Punk has been on the show before, like, doing an interview in the garage. There was an episode centered around CM Punk this season. And Colt Cabana was in it, too. Basically, CM Punk became, like, a personal trainer for Marc Maron, like, during his MMA training. And it was a pretty good episode. Like, it was, like, CM Punk actually did a pretty good job there. Like, he could probably do acting if he wanted to.
Well, but the experience that he had in pro wrestling, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have experience with professional wrestling, you might as well become an actor doing it, because it involves acting.
Yeah, no, well, not all of them are good actors, though. Let's face it. I mean, Stephanie McMahon's a pretty horrid actress.
She's a great heel, though. Anyway, Mike, I have that the segment I was referring to.
Yes.
How about The Rock sing a song to you? You're from Texas? You like that country music?
What?
Here you go.
Together.
All right, here we go. I got to fast forward for a little
moment. Let me put it like this. You way through. Anybody has booze in the blender. And soon it will render. That frozen concoction, it helps me hang on.
Remember, this was like 5 minutes after they came out of the ring and started. This was 5 minutes into the segment.
Searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a rocky to blame, but I know it's old Stone Cold's fault.
So, yeah, that happened. They sang songs to each other. And then, of course, The Rock. By the way, Rock will never forget.
By the way.
Yeah, here we go.
By the way, The Rock will never, ever forget.
The Link!
Eddie Rock Bob Steve Austin. It is my favorite segment ever in WWE.
So, and Kevin Owens just beat Cesaro in a really good match. The way they did the ending, though, because technically it was a clean finish, but they did the whole thing where Owens shoved Cesaro into the announce table from, like, the apron, so he injured his ribs and couldn't do the swing. So they're kind of they're doing that. Owens
at
gets,
least they're building up the swing to be, like, an intimidating move again.
Yeah, and, like, it gets Owens another win, but, like, Cesaro's going to win the pay-per-view rematch. But that's gonna set that up. It's actually, weirdly enough,
pretty smart booking.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Holy crap. Who would have thought? Give smart booking to two talented individuals, and you have a story that people are going to get behind.
What? Smart what? Booking involving good workers?
That had to
this
be...
This is blasphemy.
That had to be Jimmy Jacobs booking. For those who don't know, Jimmy Jacobs is a former Ring of Honor manager / wrestler who now currently works for the WWE booking crew. So now, two-thirds of the original... Age of the Fall are now in WWE in prominent roles. The other person being Seth Rollins.
So, moving on to what we were going to talk about before we went to break. I really am confused about this feud between Rusev and Dolph Ziggler. Now, for those of you who aren't following along with it or use this as an opportunity to go to the bathroom, as I've been doing in recent weeks... Rusev and Ziggler have been fighting because Lana is now with Ziggler, and she broke up with Rusev. It's classic old boyfriend fighting with new boyfriend. We've seen this shtick a lot of times, and if you were in high school, this happened every week. So we've seen the story over and over again.
I want nothing to do with this feud from now on. I'm done with this feud. And that sucks because Ziggler's fantastic. But I'm absolutely done with this goofy feud. It's horrible. And it's been extended because Ziggler had to film a movie. This feud should have been over a long time ago. Like, it's not beneficial to anybody. Ziggler and Lana don't have that good of chemistry.
On Twitter, though, it's been fantastic. Because someone, I saw this today, someone tweeted Ziggler and said, "Wait, don't Lon and Rusev date in real life?" And Ziggler replied, "I thought they did." Like, keeping kayfabe going on social media, keeping the bit going. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
But the on-TV product, though, I want nothing to do with this.
So, which brings me to my question. I literally typed this up on the prep sheet on the computer. What will happen next in this feud? And we've been seeing on Raw little bits and pieces. Ziggler goes into his locker room. Summer Rae follows him. And then a couple segments later, Summer Rae comes out laughing. And you see Ziggler covered up in a towel, which means there probably was some sex from some pictures taken, or could have turned off the lights thinking it was Lana, and he ended up doing some relations with Summer Rae instead. It's classic relationship breaker.
It's classic. I don't care.
Yeah. So that's what's happening next in this rivalry.
Don't care. I'm done with this feud. I just can't. I don't want it anymore. Give Ziggler something better.
This answers to my next question about this feud. Is the rivalry going stale? I think that's a resounding yes.
That's a Daniel Bryan yes.
And final question I have about this feud. Are we actually going to see Lana and Summer Rae in the ring together? Are they actually going to have a match and speak of the devil? Here's what's going on right now on Raw. Let's hear what happens.
I know you're upset. Let me explain for one second, okay? I was in my locker room. My locker room. And I stepped out of the shower for 2 seconds, and I saw Summer standing there with a big, dumb grin on her face. As soon as I saw her, I grabbed a towel, and I told her to get the hell out of here, and she did, and that's it. Nothing happened, and I know you know that nothing happened in there.
Oh, no. So she saw you come in the shower naked? How do you think that makes me feel?
I don't know if you heard this, but someone in the audience yelled, "Who cares?" Oh, that's great.
The second I saw her in there, I grabbed a towel. And she left, that's it.
This is literally turning into Jerry Springer.
Yeah, just turn the volume off. I can't stand this storyline.
And I grabbed a towel, and that was it.
2 seconds. Ugh. And Lana just walks away from... here we go.
Oh, God, this is terrible.
This is horrendous what's going on with this
program. End it. Abort the storyline. Finish it. Great. Now, here comes this match where Dean Ambrose gets fed to Braun Strowman.
Yeah, the Wyatt family is going to take on...
Dean Ambrose, another guy who desperately needs singles wins, is now going to be fed to Braun Strowman.
And I'm sorry, fantastic. Whoever made the decision to put horns on Bray Wyatt's hoodie as he's coming out to the ring, just stop. No. I don't like this. He's not... We get that his character is a new face of fear, whatever. Or the devil's favorite, whatever. I don't know. Wait, that's Kane. I'm sorry. But, he's supposed to be this symbolic evil guy. You don't have to make it so freaking obvious with the horns on his hoodie. The hat was fine. And you're ruining his entrance ring attire.
Yeah, they are. Well, I think that was probably just for SummerSlam.
I could deal with the fake flashlight Coleman lantern. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
But the horns on his head.
By the way, he can't use a real lantern, but they can use pyrotechnics.
Ugh. Remember when Kane was actually lit on fire?
Yeah.
Like, does anyone else remember when people actually lit on fire in this company? I can't believe I just said that as in, like, I want to see people lit on fire. But people
freaking
were
animal.
Once lit on fire. Mankind was thrown off the top of a cage, and we get fake devil horns and a Coleman lantern that's a flashlight.
Fans still turn on their phone flashlights, though.
Not gonna lie, I totally would, too.
That is actually a pretty...
I totally would, too.
That adds to the entrance. The horns on the hoodie does not.
And you see, he takes them off as soon as he gets to the ring, because he knows they look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, and Braun Strowman's got the black sheep mask. Get it? Because he's the black sheep.
And apparently they're going to have one of the divas called up from NXT to play Sister Abigail, and we're going to have that entered into the Wyatt family. So it's going to be a four-person faction now. Fine, that's cool, but Bray Wyatt still needs desperate singles wins, and he needs to be rebuilt, because this is just going on way too long now, where Bray Wyatt's turned into a glorified crazy jobber. Moving on now to the Dudley Boys. They returned last week on Raw. Huge return. Very surprised return in an age where we aren't genuinely surprised anymore with what WWE does because of the age of the internet. But the Dudley Boys returned last week. They signed a multi-year deal. Looks like they're going to be here on a full-time basis. What do you think about this, Mike? Because I don't think we got very much into it last week.
I like the life that it's going to inject into the tag title scene.
Because Bully Ray, Bubba Ray, but Bully Ray and TNA, in interviews that he said in and out of TNA and outside of WWE, when the subject came up about how he performs in the ring, how his intensity is in the locker room, Bully Ray in TNA was the man in the back. Like, Bubba Ray Dudley, as Bully Ray in TNA, had sort of like an Undertaker type of respect in the locker room.
Yeah.
He led the TNA roster, and he was the motivation behind everyone in TNA. And honestly, when Bully Ray was the guy in TNA, TNA was actually enjoyable programming.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed watching TNA.
Except for when Aces and Eights became stale.
Yeah, of course. But Bully Ray was the leader in the locker room. And I think the Dudley Boys, because Devon Dudley also runs a school in Florida, and he helps train up-and-coming wrestlers, too. So I think the Dudley Boys returning, sure, give him a couple of wins here and there, but have great matches with the new tag teams, build up the tag team division. And, again, apparently signed a multi-year deal. They're returning on a full-time basis. We saw them on Thursday Night SmackDown, and we're going to see them in action tonight on Raw. I can't wait for that, to see the Dudleys in a tag team match on Monday Night Raw for the first time in over 10 years. And what my question about this is, what will the Dudleys' role be for the main roster? And I think we kind of answered that already. I think they're going to be an important asset to the tag team division. They're going to build up the roster.
Yeah, and definitely going to.
And I think they're going to get one, maybe two more tag team title runs. And as much as I've enjoyed the primetime players, the New Day, Lucha Dragons, even Los Matadores from time to time, I've enjoyed the tag team division. Adding the Dudleys to this has been phenomenal, but I hate to interrupt myself here, but we are going to live coverage of Monday Night Raw, because Braun Strowman just took the microphone, and this is his first promo as a member of the Wyatt family.
As he drops the
microphone. As he drops the mic. And
good timing,
great, buddy. Great timing, Chris. All right. So far we have, let's revisit Sting versus Rollins for a second here, because I don't think we...
I'm just saying, the American dream, baby.
What happens to Sting? What happens with Sting if he wins, if he doesn't win? Where does Sting go from here after Night of Champions? Because you can't imagine him being on Monday Night Raw the night after.
I would say, they might do something with him, or they might just kind of have him be in the shadows there.
And thank you, Brent, in the chat room. He sent a screen cap of Rusev tweeting. This was from July. Someone tweeted Rusev, although the Stegosaurus dinosaur was over 9 yards long, its brain was only the size of a walnut. Rusev's response is, this reminds me of Lana. Very funny. WWE performers, very fun to watch on Twitter because they keep the bits going. It's fantastic.
You know who are legit entertaining and they're still on NXT and they haven't debuted yet and would bring more life to the tag division? Enzo and Cass.
Yes.
Bada boom. Realest guys in the room.
Oh, by the way, sort of not wrestling related, but there was a shooting today.
Outside of
the WWE Performance Center.
Did they say who was involved or was it people?
It just came up now on the...
Or was it people who... it happened earlier today, but I'm trying to see if it was like anybody from WWE related or if it was just that the shooting happened to happen.
The man involved in a shooting at the WWE Performance Center in Orlando on Monday was identified as Armando Alejandro Estrada in Revenge for Umaga. No, Montalvo was his last name. WWE recently filed an injunction against a man with the same name to keep the person from trespassing on a WWE Performance Center property. So, looks to me like this guy is a crazed lunatic, obsessed fan, you name it. According to online records, Montalvo was arrested for trespassing after being warned to leave the WWE Performance Center on August 4th. The man was also arrested for battery on a man 65 years or older, violating a domestic injunction, fraud, and assault on a law enforcement officer over the past few years. So this guy's had some run-ins with the law, and he decided to shoot someone at the WWE Performance Center today. So I don't know if the person who was shot was killed or was only injured, but hopefully...
No, he was the man who was shot, apparently.
The shooter was identified as the shooter is Armando Montalvo. That's the shooter.
Montalvo. No, I thought he was the shootee.
No, he's the one who was shot. The man involved in the shooting was 29-year-old Armando Montalvo.
Alejandro Estrada.
Oh my God. So craziness going on.
Crazy. Colonel Sanders on TV. $5 Phillips, KFC.
And finally, a little bit of Hulk Hogan news here. WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan made an appearance on Good Morning America on Monday to start the apology tour. I mean, we might turn into a little bit of Brainstorm Radio here for a second. But Hogan has made the apology tour, apologizing for his racist remarks that he said years ago, but that doesn't matter. During a segment, Hogan said he is not a racist, but, quote, never should have said what I said. It was wrong, he added. I'm embarrassed by it. He said WWE ties him was devastating. He feels like they have completely erased him from history, which, I mean, they did. While Hogan is hoping to make a triumphant return to WWE one day, a spokesperson for WWE told The Hollywood Reporter at this time...
That's what they told him.
Yeah, basically. At this time, the WWE remains steadfast in its decision.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's only shortly after. And come on. I mean, Hogan's an idiot. He's doing the PR tour. People are buying it at some point, you know. It's not like Seth Rollins' chick, who's probably never going to work there again.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing that was going on. She posted some Nazi-themed tweets, and that's just not... I don't think that's PG, posting Nazi things on social media.
No, but she's oof. She got... And they were just starting to give her, like, a role in the company. Like, she was going to be, like, playing Solomon Crowe's sister in NXT. But then that surfaced. Which, I mean, on one hand, it's like, why do people, like, oh my God, see, she posted these WWE. At the same time, though, what the F is her problem? Like, now, she tries, oh no, see, it means peace and prosperity. Yeah, you're posting a picture of a My Little Pony with a Nazi armband and a Hitler stash. Do you really think we're going to think you're using the swastika, that means peace, love, and prosperity, when, let me educate a few people on this one. Give me a second, Hammy.
I don't know. I'm reading her tweets and her social media posts, and it's nothing that I would say that she should be fired for, but I completely understand why.
I agree with the firing. It was fucking stupid on her.
Yeah, well, it's completely stupid.
Now, the swastika that means peace, what you got here? The one that like she's referring to, the angling of that swastika is to where like the side bend is flat, like that, like kind of like facing left to right, and there's four dots in each quadrant here, and I'm showing Hammy that now, like that.
Yeah,
the Nazi swastika is kind of like on an angle, like a diagonal angle, in a white circle in a red background. So,
although, to be honest, one of her tweets said, "Suicide girls making tattooed, insecure, attention-craved women with daddy issues feel important since 2001. That's very funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. Another one of her tweets, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Extreme feminists annoy the hell out of me. Girls are so slutty on Twitter. Yeah, okay, if that's how you can get followers. Okay.
Yeah, but you...
Here's another one of her tweets. When faggots talk shit on the internet because they think they'll never have to face that person, fucking coward bitches. I'm reading her tweets verbatim.
Yeah, so basically, even if not for the Nazi swastika stuff, because let's face it, she posted Nazi swastikas, and then she tried, well, it means something else, man. Fuck.
And I guess there's one of her Instagram comments. They were talking about the black princess in Disney movies. I guess that's the Princess and the Frog, I think. Her response to a comment, I feel like Disney made the prince white just to piss off black people. Like, okay. Like,
yeah, no.
I bet some alcoholic beverages were probably consumed when writing this stuff, but you're going to get your ass fired if you are a public figure in an entertainment company that's TVPG. You're not going to last that long in WWE, let's just say that.
When, and now that she's fired, her and Seth Rollins probably won't last that much longer. The main reason he cheated on his fiance with her is because the fiance's never on the road, and he figured, hey, someone who's going to be on the road too. Not anymore. Unless he saw that and just dumped her.
I don't know. I mean, he could have... I don't even want to get to... I don't want to turn this into TMZ here, but... Yeah. Well, going back to what we said about Bray Wyatt being failed miserably by WWE, for once, I completely agree with Vince Russo on something, because Vince Russo released a blog or a video by saying that WWE has failed Bray Wyatt immensely. And I'm just going to find a quote here. If you're a writer for the WWE and you have nothing for Bray Wyatt, then you shouldn't be a writer for the WWE.
Yeah. The guy will make whatever it is work, but you've got to give him something good.
Here's another quote from him. Listen, I'm not by any means implying that writing a weekly 3-hour wrestling show is an easy job, because it's not. And if there was anybody that would come up with excuses to protect those thankless, faceless, poor slobs, it would be me. However, when they come across as blatantly inept as they do at times, there are just no excuses. When it's clear cut that a talent is being screwed over by the writers and not their natural ability, then something needs to be done. What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. And if you're a writer for WWE, blah, blah, blah. There are no excuses here. Bray Wyatt is far and away the most gifted talent that has commanded a wrestling ring since the days of the Attitude Era. Whoa. That's some major praise for Bray Wyatt from Vince Russo. And WWE creative have failed him miserably. That includes Vince, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and anybody else who has had anything to do with the growth of his career. Wow. So he gives Bray Wyatt a lot of praise here. And you know what? For once, I completely agree with Vince Russo on something. Because he's right. Yeah. WWE has failed Bray Wyatt miserably.
Yeah, they failed him horribly.
And I think this third partner, this third Wyatt family member is something to just say, okay, please, the way I see it is, they're just throwing things out there and hoping something sticks.
I think this guy's here because Rowan's hurt.
That too, but he. And I think now the focus is going to be on this new guy instead of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, for a little bit.
We'll only find out what happens then. But in the meantime,
meanwhile, the most talented in-ring guy in that group, Luke Harper, is going to be on the back burner even more.
That doesn't make sense.
I think what's going to happen is Rowan is going to come out and help them at some point.
You think Rowan's going to return and fight against the Wyatt family?
Yeah.
Or help them?
He's going to fight against them.
All right. Well, that is our show for tonight. I want to thank everybody who listens or downloads the show. We will be live every Monday night at 9 p.m. covering the second hour of Monday Night Raw. Our predictions for later on in the show. Will we see Sting again tonight? I say yes. Punchy, do we see Sting one more time tonight?
Yes, we do.
To set up the video clip that you're going to see all over again in the promos leading up to Night of Champions.
Come on, John.
What's going to happen at WWE? I'm very excited for next week's Raw. I'm excited to see the Dudley Boys back in action again tonight. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. I am at Brain Stew Hammy on Twitter. He is at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. At Brain Stew Radio on Twitter. Last word, Mike.
Last word. Last word is going to be bang.